tomorrow there's hope in the morning, hope in the evening, hope because you're living, hope because you're breathing, there's hope in the breaking, hope in my sorrow.
probably is putting on Facebook how much we love our real Father, but you are standing here in front of your heavenly Father, and this is your opportunity to just sing some O's and to show Him that you love Him and that He gave the ultimate sacrifice for your heavenly Father gave His Son for you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 139, verses 13 to 14 give powerful words about our lives. Let this wash over your spirit this morning. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. I think about fathers today. Happy Father's Day, guys. Come on, give it up for the dads today. Hallelujah. I think about fathers today. I think about fatherly men, men who've poured into my life even though they were not my blood father. I think about a man who long went to be with Jesus a few years ago. His name was Dr. Charles Cookman. He was my pastor. He was a friend. He was a man who poured into the lives of Pastor Joy and me as we started out in ministry. When I first started preaching the gospel, I sat in his office and he prophesied over me and my family. And I think about what he said one day when I was getting ready to graduate from Bible college in Lakeland, Florida. 1992 was the year, 91 rather, I came here in 92. But he stepped up to the microphone and the platform and began to preach, and he said, you know, all of your life, you've heard the Lord say, come, come, come to me. Come to me and I will wash you. Your sins will be like scarlet. Sins are like scarlet. They shall be made as white as wool. And he preached the gospel that night. He said, all of your life, you've heard the Lord say, come. Now he's telling you to go. Amen. And he said, I want you to give yourself away. And that's what God wants us to do. We are fearfully and we are wonderfully made. And God wants us to give ourselves away every day of our lives. What a tremendous privilege we have to get up every day and to live the principles of God. Come on, to live the principles of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on, Daryl, sing that one more time, man. Don't you appreciate some Daryl? Come on. You appreciate some Daryl? Sing it, man. Hallelujah. Give myself away. Sing it. Hallelujah.
Give myself away.
Sydney's family here. Would you guys please stand? They're pastors. Sydney, would you holler out for me? Come on, let me just take your microphone over here. Let you introduce your family.
This is my parents. They are from South Texas. My dad is a pastor at a small little church in South Texas. Yes.
So have a South Texas pastor in the house this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for what you do for the ministry and for the kingdom of God. Wonderful opportunity now to give to the Lord. Praise God to take a portion of what God has blessed you with. And so we just give you an opportunity now. If you'd like to come forward and drop your gifts in the bucket, and if you're giving online today, you can do so by text, or you can do so by the app on the CSIC app. Thank you for your faithfulness in your giving this morning. Praise God. Come on, give it up for the Lord and His faithfulness. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask Kaija's precious family to join me here on the platform this morning. Pastor Joy, would you join me as well? Praise God. They're coming to dedicate their precious children to the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. What an opportunity is ours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nothing quite as precious as children, is it? Praise God.
That's yours to keep right there.
Praise God. Isn't he? Praise the Lord. The Bible says that children are a heritage of the Lord. The psalmist said the fruit of the womb is his reward. And it speaks about great numbers in the Bible. The Bible says that children are like arrows in the hands of a mighty man. Amen. And it says, blessed is he who has a quiver slammed full of them. Amen. How many of y'all like those stories on television that you watch, like Eight is Enough? Come on. Anybody? Come on, I'm dating myself here. I just look every once in a while when there's nothing at all on television, I go to Walton's Mountain. Amen. And I always wait till the very end. It just thrills my soul to hear those kids say, good night, John Boy. Good night, Mary Ellen. Good night, Mommy. All those precious voices make a difference. These are the precious voices that God has trusted you with. Amen. And you see, Skylar today, she served as a catalyst for Kaija to go back and say, you know what, God, I have not taken the time to formally dedicate these children unto you. So it was January the 30th on the year 2013 when Aubrey, precious Aubrey, come on, give him a wave, Aubrey. Precious Aubrey tipped the scales at 6 pounds and 11 ounces of sweetness. Come on. 6 pounds, 11 ounces. And then Kyrie. Kyrie, what's up, man? You doing all right today? Kyrie was born September the 22nd, and he was a bag of sugar. Come on. 5 pounds. 5 pounds. Do you know what, Kyrie? You know what? I was just a few ounces bigger than you, and look at me now. Amen. Just a few ounces. 5 pounds and 6 ounces is what I was. Amen. You didn't know 5 pounds could get this large, did you? Praise the Lord. September 22nd, 2015. And then on May the 12th at 7 pounds and 3.5 ounces, this precious little girl, Skylar Lyric Carter. What a name, man. What a name. Skylar Lyric Carter. I was praying about you guys this morning, and I thought, you know, the name Lyric is amazing because lyrics are life stories. They're song stories. And I believe that God has his hand on Skylar's life, and not only Skylar, I believe he's got his hands on Aubrey and Kyrie, and that God is doing great things. He's doing great and mighty things. I've watched what he's done in your life personally, and I've watched the joy and the passion and the serving the Lord. And I believe that God is going to take you through a season where he's going to allow you to reshape and remold the lives and go back and correct some mistakes and all those things. You know what? We're not perfect. We're just forgiven. We're just forgiven. How many of you thank God for his forgiveness? Amen. We're not perfect. We're just forgiven.
And so just as an act of obedience, would you release that precious little child to Pastor Joy? Because she wants to get her hands on her. She really does. She loves you two guys as well. She's just not going to pick you up this morning, okay? Praise the Lord. What a precious, precious child. She's all dressed up for today. Let me just read this certificate that bears your pastor's name today. And it just reads like this. It's a certificate of dedication presented to Jeff and Kaija Carter at the dedication of their God-given children, Aubrey, Deanna, Lindsay, Kyrie, Addison Carter, and Skylar Lyric Carter. These gifts of God were presented to the Lord in a formal ceremony of Christian dedication on the 20th day of June. The year is 2021. And Isaiah 54:13 is the verse the Lord gave me for you. And look at that. It just simply says, all of your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. Amen? Amen. Great will be their peace. Hallelujah. God is so good. Great will be their peace. So stretch your hands out this way. We have a divine obligation as a body of believers. Father, in the strong name of Jesus, we come before you, Lord. And Father, we thank you for Aubrey. We thank you, God, for Kyrie. And God, we thank you for precious little Skylar today. And God, we ask you that you would just minister your tremendous blessings. Lord, we just read in your word a few moments ago that simply reminded us that we are all fearfully and wonderfully made. And we speak the peace of God over this precious family today. We thank you, God, for precious loved ones that are standing on the backside. And that's really what they're doing with their lives. They're standing in the back, cheering on these precious little kids, cheering on these precious little creations of God. And they're just champions, God, for your cause. And we pray that right now, God, as we freshly dedicate these kids to you and your kingdom, God, that they will grow up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, we give you praise for every one of them. And Father, we ask you to watch over them. We ask you, God, to fulfill Jeremiah 1, verses 4 and 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and ordained you as prophets to the nations. God, keep your precious hands upon them. We give them to you today, afresh and anew, like Sarah did when she said, God, if you give me that man child, I'll give him right back to you, God, all the days of his life. So I speak peace over Jeff and Kaija today. I thank you, God, that you've called them to be parents of these precious little ones. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Come on, celebrate with me today. Hallelujah. Celebrate with me today. I'm going to put this in the care of someone else in the family, okay? Let them take care of that for you. Praise the Lord. Come on, give it up for Kaija and her precious children. Hallelujah. God is so good. God is so good. Such a blessing to be able to take time to dedicate children and to give them to the things of God. I want you to stand with me one more time and let's just pray. Several weeks ago, we preached a message here on the call of God. And in that message, I was kind of surprised, like, God, what are you doing? What are you saying? Why are you having me to preach on the call of God today? I think everybody, you know, here is maybe doing what they're supposed to be doing. And out of my great surprise that day, there were 13 young men and women who made their way to the altar, and they made a fresh commitment to the things of God. And in that commitment, they responded that they felt like God had called them all to preach the gospel of Jesus. And that's a tremendous challenge. I'll never forget when God called me. I'll never forget getting down on my knees in a field, and I'll never forget just crying out to the Lord and saying, God, you feel like you're in my heart here, but I also feel like you're just an absolute million miles away. And I don't understand you, God. How many of you have a hard time sometimes understanding God? And I don't understand you, but this is what I said on my knees in a field. I said, God, I'll give myself to you. And I will do what you want me to do, and I'll preach the gospel. And I want to tell you, it's not been an easy life. It's not really been an easy life at all. But it's been the most rewarding life a man could ever ask to live. That's to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I want you to stretch your hand out now and pray for Joel as he comes. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Joel Tapscott today, God. We ask you to use him, God, for your glory, for your honor, as he opens his heart today and shares a message, God, that you deposited there, that you placed on his heart. And I pray in the strong name of Jesus, God, that you would give him a dimension that is far beyond his own self. Father, that you would take a fresh coal from your altars and anoint his lips of clay, that he might proclaim the truth in the power of your Spirit, in Jesus' strong name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Would you give it up for Brother Joel Tapscott today? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Good morning, church. Happy Father's Day to everybody. Today, we're going to talk about revival, the calling to everyone. It was an incredible night meeting a revival here at Carpenter Sharp International Church. It's a night that I'll never forget. I hold dear to my heart. In fact, there's rarely a day that goes by that I don't remember the experience that I had right here, right there at this very altar. I think about it. I relive it. I try to stay in touch with the spirit that God deposited on my soul that night. It's just an amazing thing. The evangelist was Doug Echols. He was a revivalist that was invited to our church. It seems like the message was written just for me that night. Never been to a revival, so I decided I was going to come to one. Came the first night. He showed us pictures about Haiti, the water wells and everything. By the end of the night, me and my wife were so moved, we came back and donated a well. She was coming back the next night to give him the check. I couldn't make it. I didn't think I was going to make it anyways. Had a meeting outside of town for my company. Something happened that day. About 10 o'clock in the morning, this voice came over me and said, you need to be there. You need to be there tonight. You need to be there. Well, by about 12, it turned into, you're going to be there. No matter what, you're going to be there tonight. Long story short, I made it here. Changed right out there in the parking lot. And made it here about 5 minutes left. Two questions that night, and I'll never forget, he asked. The first one was, if you were free of sin, you knew you had been washed by the Lord, and you knew where you were going, to raise your hand. I could not raise my hand. Could not raise it. Next question changed my life. He asked, if you weren't free of sin, you didn't know where you were going, and you wanted it to change, come to the altar. Before he could say that last word, I was standing right there. He came over, he said a few words to me. Can't remember what they were. Said something to my wife, came back to me, touched me right here, told me there was something big inside of me moving. When he said, in the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit come over me, fire came down and washed my soul clean. It was just a whirlwind. I've been light as feather since, and the Lord has just put this calling on me. Thank you. Thank you. It's a great feeling. Great feeling. 56 years of my life had gone by before I met God Almighty in a very, very powerful way. Just told you about it. For some reason, some people receive first, real early in life, they reserve the truth of God. For others, it comes later. It impacted my life so much that I believe the Lord used this very experience to teach me that revival is a calling upon all of us. And there are several facets or stages in the calling. The first call is to salvation. This call is to everyone in the world. It is to call to accept our Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. It is to call to repent your sins and to be baptized in his name. It is the acceptance of his sacrifice that he paid that day on the cross, paid for all of our sins, paid our ransom. John 3:16-17. This is the classic passage of the very love of God. John recorded it like this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish and have eternal life. Praise God. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it. He sent him to this world to save us. Salvation is the way, we all know. You see, we must all come to reality that we are called to salvation through Jesus Christ. Some have called this journey down the life down the Roman road. Romans 3:23 tells us that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God in our lives. Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you declare this with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith and saved. Hallelujah. Jesus is the way to salvation. He is the only way to God. That's what he was showing me that very night when he visited right here in this revival service. He was revealing himself unto me that very way. I'll never, never forget that. John 14:6 says, Jesus answered, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. No one comes to the Father except from me. This is the call to salvation we all have. We were born with it. Call to sanctification. Not only has Christ called us in salvation, but the life also includes sanctification. Sanctification means to set apart. You and I are to set apart our sins. We are called to take authority over the sinful influence, spirit of our lives, to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. This daily walk that we are called to walk, every day we must rise up and ask the Holy Spirit to empower us, embrace us, and to follow his spirit so that we will not fulfill the desires of flesh. Acts 2:3, Peter says, repent. Let each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and for the forgiveness of his sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the active and powerful life of the Holy Spirit in our lives that will enable us to live our lives and honor God rather than fulfill the desires of the flesh. Galatians 5:16-17 says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict for each other. They're fighting every day for our soul, so that you are not to do whatever you want to do. We can't serve them both. We all know that we're weak in the flesh. We must pray every day. Every day read scriptures. Every day pray to the Lord. Come to church, have fellowship, so that we can stay strong in the Spirit, so that we don't die in the flesh. Amen. Amen. Salvation is very real. When you experience the call to salvation and following Jesus, the battle will become very, very real that's in this world today. There is a struggle between the flesh and spirit that goes on every day. We see it on the news, social media, everywhere we see this. The enemy is always trying to discourage you, but God has given his Holy Spirit to encourage you and to draw you closer to himself. You and I are called to set our lives apart and sanctify unto him. Sanctification will help you walk victoriously in life. You feed yourself on the Word of God and fellowship with other believers, then you will be able to walk out the calling of salvation as well as the call to sanctification. The call to suffering. There is also a call upon our lives to suffer. Sometimes suffering may include our own personal struggles, whatever it may be. It could be sick, we could lose our job, and we are going to encounter opposition as a believer. We know that there's non-believers out there, and they're going to think of everything we can think of to discount the Lord. Facing discouragement, those are the biggest factors of it. Some people wonder why we even have struggle in our lives. It's quite simple. Just because the very rebellion Adam and Eve had when the very first sin was issued, the very first time they came aware, they ate the fruit. We are all subject to a fallen world. As a result, all of humanity struggles with disease, natural disaster, corruption of this world. 1 Peter 5:7-11 talks to us about these life struggles and victory that we can have if we just believe in the Lord. Cast out all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be alert of a sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion waiting to devour you. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith because you know that the family of the believers throughout this world is going to go in the same kind of sufferings that we encounter every day. And through the grace of God, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Listen, you and I have the same struggles in the world as everyone does. I mean, let's face it, financial, hatred. We see hatred all over the place. We deal with this on a daily basis, some of us more than others. But we have victory because Christ has restored himself into us. Christ has made us strong. Christ has given us a firm foundation through faith in him that we can build our church, and he is the rock. So you and I are called to salvation, we're called to sanctification, and we're called to suffering. But it's important to us to know that while we are struggling in this life, we are also called to serving. We all had a call to serve. You and I have been called to salvation through Jesus Christ, and that life of salvation should result in our hearts and our desires to serve him. When we are saved, like I was on the altar, all we want to do is praise the Lord, serve the Lord in our fullest capacity, whether it's just talking to somebody about him, praying with somebody, helping somebody. We're all called to serve. We're called to demonstrate his love that he shed abroad on our hearts. We're called to build up his church and to share his amazing love with the world. Paul's about my favorite person in the Bible. He says to us all about the special gifts that God has given to all of us. Romans 12, 6 through 8 declares, we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it's encouraged, then give encouragement. If it's showing mercy, then show it cheerfully. If it's to give, then give generously. If it's to lead, then do it diligently. The call to serving, that's what's lacking in this world today. Not many want to take the time or bother to answer the call to serving. We think that serving means just a pastoral capacity, but there are many, many, many ways of serving. There's many ways to serve the Lord. We can volunteer through the church, through our community, whatever we need to do. Answer the call for help. When somebody's calling you and they just need help and they're lost, we're called to come and answer that call to them and pray for them. Missionary work. Didn't know a lot about missionary work, but the more and more that I see about it, that is a very important service to God. I did not realize it until just a few weeks ago. I'll be right honest with you. It opened my eyes, and it's weighing hard on my soul. Weighing. I pray for it every day. Outreach ministry, whether it be the women's ministry, the men's ministry, the youth ministry, whatever, we all need to participate in it. We all need to come and build this up. Bible study. To me, that is one of the most important things that we could come and do. We read the Bible. We might not know the scripture, but through Bible study, we learn the scripture. We learn more and more about it. I read the Bible every day. I read it from front to back. Now the Lord calls me to read different facets of the Bible. He'll wake me up and just tell me to read a Bible. For some reason, I read Revelations about 10 times. I can't figure out what he wants me to say on it, but I'm gonna find it. But anyways, Bible study. Pastor Mike, bless you, because you show me every Wednesday night more and more and more about the Lord. And I thank you for that. You're opening my eyes every day. Prayer meetings. Haven't been to one yet, but I've tried something Pastor Wallace told us to do last year. And let me tell you, I brought this up to the first men's ministry, and I haven't accomplished it yet. He said to take the time to pray, pray earnestly. We pray every day. We thank the Lord. We ask him for forgiveness. We ask him for things we want. But have we just taken the time to generally just pray to the Lord? Just pray to him. Just take the time out. He said, I'll never forget it, try to pray for 10 minutes. Just set yourself aside and pray to the Lord for 10 minutes. I haven't done it yet, and I've tried. The first time I tried, got myself alone, I prayed. Just prayed. I thought I'd had it whipped. Thought I'd prayed for 20 minutes. Prayed for 2 minutes. And I was wore out. War slam out. Had nothing else to pray for that I thought of. But it's a hard thing. If you can reach 10 minutes, thank God for you. I'm going to get it one day. I got the rest of my life to do it. I'm going to get there, but haven't made it yet. But the problem with that is, you know, that's the direct line to God. When you start praying and you really praying to him about everything in your life, you get overwhelmed from anointing for the Holy Ghost. And I just have to end up breaking down and start crying and praising the Lord, and it interrupts my prayers. So I have to start all over. But that's the purpose of it, to get that anointment, get that Holy Spirit in us. With the Holy Spirit in us, we can fear no evil because we're strong in the body of Christ. Right. Thank you. Kids, church, and more. We just need to find out what our calling is. Remember, he has a plan for all of us. Jeremiah 1:5 said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to all nations." That's our calling right there. Before we were born, he already had a plan for us. We just have to find what that plan is and serve the Lord through it. I knew I had a calling. I could feel it in my spirit. I could feel it in my heart. I knew there was something calling me. Just wouldn't let me go. Just would not. Every time I turned a corner, he was right there in my face. Matter of fact, the day after I was saved, I cried like a little baby. Didn't even think I was going to make it to work that day. I kept crying and crying, crying and crying. All through work, I cried. And I had this spot that I walk around, try to walk a mile every day. And I was back there praying, come over me. And I thought, talking to the Lord, I thought I'd been there 15 minutes. When I looked at my watch, I'd been there an hour and a half, just getting anointment from the Lord. So shook up, didn't know, because I'd never had that anointment before. I had to call Pastor Wallace that night, whether he called me. I don't know how he understood me, because I was crying like a newborn baby talking to him, but he told me I was having a power moment. It was a power moment, trust me, trust me. It was. I'm a very organized man, but that day was just a total, wasn't a disaster, because the Lord was with me. He anointed me in that calling, and I'll never forget it. It was a power. It's happened three more times to me. And it seems like he comes when you're down the worst. When you think you've got nothing else to do, he'll be there for you. He'll never let you down. The blessings on my heart and on my soul and on my family have been abound since the Lord came to me that day and saved me. I lost my place a little bit. By coming to church, coming to the altar, and praying to the Lord, he showed me what path I was called for. The problem is that today we either ignore or do not make time to answer our call. The fear and the hatred in this world inhibit us, a lot of us, from taking up the call to the Lord. He has a call to salvation, a call to sanctification, a call to suffering, a call to service. We need to think, we all think we have time in the world. We say, I will answer the call tomorrow, I'll answer it next week, I'll answer it next month. The problem is, those days never come. Every time it comes around, we put it off and put it off and put it off, and we just suppress this calling. The time is something we do not have. We think we got all the time in the world. In fact, we don't. The only one knows how much time we have is the Father. In the scriptures, every prophet from the Old Testament to the New Testament talked about the first and second coming of the Lord. The first coming has already come. It's been 2,000 years since our Messiah walked this earth and gave his life on the cross for us. He's coming again. Make no mistake, people. He is coming again. He's coming to save this world and give us salvation. It's our duty to the Lord, because we could never match what he done to us. I mean, we could never match that. But it's our duty and our honor to pick up our calling. If you feel that nudge, if you just feel it, something tugging at you that just won't let you go, pray to it. Talk to one of us about it. Talk to Pastor Wallace, talk to Pastor Mike, talk to Pastor Ted and the rest of them. They'll lead you in the right direction. Trust and believe in me. This is the greatest fulfillment I've ever had in my life, standing right here in front of you guys right now. Don't miss your opportunity. Peter, in 2 Peter 3:8, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is just like a day." Like I said, the only one that knows when he's coming back, it's the Father. And when he comes, we don't want to be left behind. We want to be ready. We cannot let fear and hate or time keep us from our calling. What the world needs today is a revival. That's to a calling to everyone. A revival in our calling to the Lord. It is time, people. It is time to rise up in revival. It is time to rise up in our calling to the Lord. Time to rise up and call into ministries. Time to call on our rise in our calling to scriptures. Time to rise in our calling to the community. Go out in this community, spread the word of the gospel. spread our love and our faith and our fellowship to them, we got to start somewhere. The time to rise in our fellowship, time to rise up out of our seat right now, raise our hands to heaven and give praise to the Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ that he is worthy of. It is time to rise and answer the call that he has upon our life. Whew. Feel the Holy Ghost up in here today. Come to the altar. Drink of the living water. Just like Jesus told the Samaritan woman at the well, the water I offer you will not thirst anymore. Trust me when I tell you, you've never tasted anything more fulfilling and more sweeter than that well water right there. So I invite you, take your cup out, come to the altar, fill it up, drink it, and just keep drinking out of that well till it flows out of you like a river. I'm telling you, the praise and the glory that you get from doing that is unmatched in this world. There's nothing in this world that matches that Savior. It is time to rise and be a contagious Christian. That's what we're all supposed to do. Spread the good news of the Lord. It is time for revival in our church, for we are the body of church. This church is strong in the body of Christ. Every day I walk through these doors right here, I get the fresh anointment of the Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. We do have a good shepherd. We have a great shepherd. The Lord had blessed us with a great shepherd right there. He's trying to get every lost sheep back into the pen. I don't know why some of us just keep pushing our head against the fence trying to get back out of that pen. It's a whole lot better inside the pen than it was outside. Just a year ago, I was outside. Never be there again. Never be there again. I thank God for the both of you. Getting carried away here. Hold on a minute. Our calling is one of the most important fulfilling calls you will ever answer. Brace it with all your heart and soul. The fulfillment of the ministry to our Lord Jesus Christ is something, it's just something that we can call to do and we can never do enough for our Lord. Give our life to the Lord. Open up, just receive him. There's nothing in this world more important than the salvation of your soul. Nothing. Nothing can match that. Through your calling, you are leading others to salvation. When we answer our call and are serving the Lord to our fullest capacity, remember, no matter what he calls you to do, embrace it with vigor and faith. The revival in our calling to the Lord has to start, and it has to start today. Today, we start our revival in this church. Revival is contagious. By starting a revival in our calling here today, tomorrow we can spread it in the community and in the world. Revival has to start here and now. Look, all we got to do is go out here. We see it every day, especially in our little bitty town right here. We should be the ones in the forefront. We should be the spear and the sword of the Lord, going out to people in this community, showing them the goodwill of the Lord, just changing. Just takes one. Just takes one person. I'm here to tell you, it just takes one person to change. We change one person, that person gets excited in the Lord, comes a revival, good things happen to them, they get one person, and the next thing you know, people are standing outside trying to get into church, and that's what we need. Too many people we have lost coming to church. Church is where we get fellowship. The Lord says we need fellowship. We can't do it alone. Trust me, I'm bullheaded, I've tried it. It don't work. We need this fellowship. We need the support of everybody in this room to do what we're called to do, and that is serve the Lord. There's nothing, people, more important than our service to the Lord and our salvation. I know I rushed through this. It's Father's Day. I apologize. It's my first time. I'm not through. I'm not through by a long shot. I mean, I got a little bit more time to tell you. Like I said, that day in revival, I never forget it. I can see it as plain as day. I was right here. My wife right was beside me. And when he put over there and released the Lord on me, all I could see was the holy fire coming down, washing everything out of me, telling me I was going to be all right, telling me I wasn't lost anymore. Telling me good things is going to come. They have. I'm up here fulfilling what he's called me to do. I got 3 more classes to take, and then I'll start the credential process. Hallelujah. I've been invited to go abroad and preach. That is an undertaking that's weighing hard on my soul, and I'm praying to the Lord every day to ask me how I'm going to accomplish this, because I know with all my heart and soul, if I ever do that one time, I can never go back to what I'm doing right now. I'll be gone. And I hope and pray that each one of you have the calling as strong as I got it right now. There is nothing in this world right now that can compare to what I'm doing right now in front of you guys. My wife asked me this morning, my daughter asked me, I don't know how many people's asked me, are you nervous? Are you nervous? I wasn't nervous till I was sitting right there and Pastor Wallace was up here saying something. I had to go run water over my face. I was about to lose it though. It's not so much being scared talking to you, it's nervous that I'm not presenting what I want to present. My heart is so full of the Lord, so full of the Holy Spirit that I get carried away. And I'm usually a focus point person, but when it comes to him, I get tongue-tied. It's just, he flows into me so much, he's saying, say this, say that, say this, say that, and I can't get it out of my mouth fast enough. And I can talk, trust me, I can talk, but it's just for some reason, every time I walk through those doors and every time I come in this sanctuary, sometimes the Holy Spirit's in here so thick, it's like a fog. I can't hardly see up here. Can't even hardly see the praise team. You guys do a wonderful job. That's a calling right there, and every one of them have a special calling because they put the Lord out here for us and get us fired up every Sunday. Every Sunday. The one thing I want to say to you guys, take this, please. This is dear to my heart. When we have service on a Wednesday night and we have a guest speaker, please make the time to come. Please make the time to come. My life was changed forever right here on a night service. It was changed forever again a few weeks ago. I had a little bit of doubt, and Pastor Kim Doris erased that doubt. What I seen happen right here was miracles, was healing. Never seen that. I knew the Lord could heal, but I had just a little bit of doubt, forgive me, Lord, that you could heal just by his name and believing in him. And I seen it. I seen it. I have no more doubt. Everything through the Lord can happen if you believe. And you believe. Great people. We have great pastors here. We have great help here. Just reach out. If you feel that tugging at your soul, at your spirit, sometimes it gets so hard that you can't sleep at night. Trust me, I know when I get one and I'm fulfilling that one, he's putting another one. Sometimes I have to tell him, Lord, hold up a minute. I don't know which way you want me to go. You know, I'm willing to do anything. Anything he tells me to do, I'm going to do it. It may take me a while to get there. It took 56 years for me to get where I'm at right now. And I'm not going back to where I was. I'm going to walk forward. I'm not going to the left or to the right. I'm going straight towards the Lord. And I'm telling you, if you have any doubt, all you have to do is pray. Pray to the Lord. Come and see somebody. Come and talk to somebody. I don't know it all, but I'm willing to talk to you. I'm willing to talk to anybody. Sometimes people tell me to shut up because I talk too much about him. But I don't shut up. I just keep talking. They have to walk away. I'm never going to stop giving him the praise and the glory that he deserves, because what he done to me that night cannot compare to anything. And I've done a lot in my life, been all over this world, but nothing compares to the beauty. I love my daughter to death. I thought that was the greatest thing in the world. You are the greatest thing to me in the world. But what happened that night, I'm telling you right now, all I can do to keep from crying about it, and I'm not an emotional person, but for some reason I can't quit crying anymore. I don't know why. But it's a good thing. My wife loves it. It's a good thing. He changed my life. I'll be right honest with you. Not going to lie to you. I was a drink of mine. Pastor Mike knows it. I was his neighbor for 30-something years, just about. Never knew that man prayed over me until I got saved. He told me, I've been praying over you. You don't know who's praying for you. Trust me, you don't. You don't. I pray for every one of you. I might not know you, but I pray for everybody in this church. I pray for the whole world, because what we need right now, just like I said, is a revival. This world is lost. There's hate in this world that just is unbound. And I know, we all know, things have to happen for a reason. We have to get through this to get to salvation. You know, it has to happen in a certain way for the Lord to come back. He's coming. And when he comes, I'm running to him. I don't know who all is getting lifted up, but I'm going to step over you to get to him. I'm not supposed to do that, but I'm going to be the first one there. don't miss it. Don't miss it. Like I said, if you feel that calling, it's just an urge. It's just an urge. You pray on it. He'll come to you. He'll come to you. You come right up here to this altar, and you're going to get what you want. Every time I come here, I get it. Anytime I come to this altar, I get it. I don't even need anybody praying over me anymore. The praise team could be singing. I come up here and stand up and get what I need. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Andy. Thank all the praise team for that. In closing, I just want to leave you one of the most beautiful prayers Paul wrote. I love the pastor Paul. I'm going to tell you right now, that man is, talk about faith. Everybody had faith, but what he endured, when you read and read and read, it's just amazing. Okay, Ephesians 3:14-21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, for whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name. I pray out that of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide, long, and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is worked within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I thank you for your time. I know it was short. I hope you got the message. Thank you. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. If our worship team could join us here this morning. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I think this guy's got a lick of the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. Amen. Can you imagine for 56 years not knowing anything about the things of God, not serving the Lord for 56 years of your life, and then for God to do an amazing... Joel, come on back up here, man. I want you to hang around the altar here, because I believe in the power of impartation. Come on. Amen. I believe if you stand right down there at the altar, I'm going to send you some people here in just a minute. All right? Because there's always, in a room like this, there's always people. There are always people to say, God, you know what? I feel ashamed. How many of you were thinking, man, this guy's praying and he's already read the book of Revelation 10 times in less than a year? Come on. How much of Revelation have you read in the last year? Come on. How many times, he called me. I remember that day that we talked on the phone and he was just crying like a baby. Couldn't even hardly get it out. He said, Pastor, something's wrong with me. I said, no, you're just having a Holy Ghost moment, man. I said, you're just getting a download. You need to go ahead and get everything you can get while God's doing it. Amen. I just testified to you a few moments ago about falling down in a field miles and miles out in the country. And I had that moment. I've been there, done that. And I knew exactly what you're experiencing. And my challenge to you, Joel, is to never, ever, ever let that sincere love for the things of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, never let it escape you. Always go back. Always go back to that place and just plead with the Holy Spirit. God, touch me again. Touch me again. I remember praying moments that God would call me again. Lord, I remember one day God called me. Call me this time a little louder, because I want to hear your voice, Lord. I want to hear you come to my spirit and just beckon me to go out and do the things of God like you've called me to do. Listen, if you're here this morning and you just need to step out of your seat right now, come and let Joel lay his hands on you. Would you do that? Come and let Joel lay his hands on you and pray with you and believe God for you. That same holy fire that ignited his spirit and ignited his heart would catch a blaze in your spirit. Would you do that? Come on, guys, let's sing it this morning. Come on, if you want a place to pray, just come. Step out of your seat. Let's just believe God for a moving of his spirit among us today. Come on. Hallelujah.
Tender whisper of love.
Father, in the strong name of Jesus, we come before you, God. We thank you for your fatherhood, the good, good Father that ministers love to us every day of our lives. God, thank you for what you've done in the life of Joel. I pray that you would continue to enlarge his influence, God, and teach him and guide him and direct him, Lord. We as a congregation, God, stand with him to fulfill all that you've called him to do. In Jesus' strong name, amen and amen. God bless you. Happy Father's Day, guys. We love you. Ladies, please, let me give you one more announcement before we leave today. Friday night, come on, if you haven't signed up, please let us know before you leave today. We've got to make food preparation. Our women's ministries meeting is 6:30 Friday night right here at Carpenter Shop International Church. Please go by the table in the main foyer there. Put your name down if you have not registered on Facebook. That's the women's event, thinking out of the box, getting out of the box. Please put your name down there tonight, today, so we'll know that you're coming. God bless you and have a wonderful day.